This morning we're on, again, fellowship concerning the God-ordained way. Fellowship to college students on the practice of the God-ordained way. You can open up your binder to page 59. You'll see we don't have an outline here, but this is what we're going to get into today. And I guess the first thing I want to say is amen to everything that has been shared this week. I've just been so thankful to sit here at the Lord's feet while He's been speaking to us. And Patrick and I, our hope this morning is just to build on that and to continue to try to give you something to take home when you make that choice. I'm going to be an overcomer. So this morning we come to this matter. Firstly, concerning the God-ordained way, we've been using this word a lot this week. And before you came here this week, raise your hand if you never heard that word, God-ordained way. Okay, many of us have heard it, and this is the point I want to make. Is this word is not just something we say that sounds good or a slogan, but actually, if you were to look in the appendices of this binder, which I highly encourage you to do, there are five emphases in the Lord's recovery. And we're just here this week appreciating our heritage, what we're receiving. Those five emphases are Christ, the Spirit, the Church, the oneness of the body of Christ, and the God-ordained way. So what is the God-ordained way? Well, I'm not going to try to open it up this morning, but just the words themselves, God-ordained way. This is the way that has been ordained by God. To do what? If I got Patrick up here and I said, let's all take Patrick's ordained way, what would we do, right? Well, I'd just like to impress you that the God-ordained way is the way that we see in the Bible that God has ordained to fulfill His heart's desire. Which I would like to impress you involves many things, but in the present age, it's basically just this one thing. God wants to build up the body of Christ. This is the one thing. It's not too much to say. That's what He's doing in this age. And as I was preparing, I feel like the Lord just helped me string together some verses to connect this. And so I'd just like to share them with you. You can mark them down and look at them later. But the first verse was one that Ricky referred to our first night together. It was Matthew 16:18. Does anybody remember what that verse says? That verse says, "And I also say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." And it has been said this is the greatest unfulfilled prophecy in the Bible. The Lord will build His church. That's what He's doing today. Put that together with Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. Who can tell me what that says? Ephesians, the last two verses of Ephesians chapter 1. I think some of you hear it. I'm hearing you say it. You're right. It says He subjected, this is Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church. And then you need verse 23. It says, which is His body. Say it with me. The church, which is His body. So to build up the church, to build up the body, it's the same thing. Right? You see that here in these verses. Okay, if you go a little further to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, and verse 16. It says, in verse 11, He Himself gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as shepherds and teachers, verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, unto the work of the ministry, unto the building up of the body of Christ. So what is the work of the ministry? The building up of the body of Christ, right? He gave some for the perfecting of the saints, unto the work of the ministry, unto the building up of the body of Christ. And then in verse 16, this says, speaking of Christ, it says, out from whom all the body, being joined together and being knit together through every joint of the rich supply, and through the operation and the measure of each one part, causes the growth of the body unto the building up of itself in love. And as I put all this together, I was just really impressed. What is the work of the ministry in this age? Build up the church, build up the body, right? We saw that they're the same thing. This is the work of the ministry. And who does this work directly? Does the Lord build up the church directly? He does build the church. He said, I will build my church. But in these verses, we see that he himself gave some, right, for the perfecting of the saints. So, are they the ones that are building the body directly? He himself gave some for the perfecting of the saints unto the work of the ministry, right? And then later we see that it's through the operation and the measure of each one part, right? That's what causes the growth of the body unto the building up of itself in love. So I'd just like to impress you this morning. The building up of the body depends on the operation of and the measure of each one part. And the God-ordained way is the way that has been ordained by God to build up the body. People are doing things in many ways, but we would like to do them in the way that is ordained by God. So this building up, it depends on the operation and the measure of each one part. We're all here, the training. We're so burdened now, right? We're an overcomer. We want to make the choice. We want to be one with the Lord and rise up to do what? To build up the church. So how can we do that? Well, I commend that outline to you. Get into it. Beginning, nourishing, perfecting, and building. But this morning, I'd like to point us to this matter of prophesying. Prophesying is the topmost spiritual gift. That's a powerful statement, right? The topmost spiritual gift. Recently, there was a training for elders and responsible ones. It was said in that training that this is the high peak of the God-ordained way. So all of our beginning, all of our nourishing, all of our perfecting of the people that we meet on our campus is to make them prophets, that they could prophesy for the building up of the body of Christ. That is the work of the ministry in this age. And this is something we can all do and we all must do. Okay, so what is the meaning of prophesying? For this, I'd just like to ask, how many in this room came in contact with the Lord's recovery in the last 2 years? Raise your hand. Okay, so there's a good number. This may be specifically for you, what I'm about to say, but I would encourage everybody who's heard this before, I hope this would be new and fresh to you today. What is the meaning of prophesying? Let's open our Bible and look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 1 through 4. And maybe Samuel, you could help me. Stand up and read these verses in a strong way. 14, verses 1 through 5.
Does not speak to man, but to God, for no one hears. But in the Spirit, it speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks building up and encouragement and consolation to man.
Amen.
He who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, but he who prophesies builds up the church.
Say that again. Stronger.
He who speaks in a tongue builds up himself. But he who prophesies builds up the church.
Amen. Hallelujah. He who prophesies builds up the church. Verse 5 says, I desire that you all speak in tongues, but especially that you would prophesy. Paul says, especially that you would prophesy. Greater is he who prophesies than he who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets that the church may receive building up. So this is Paul. He's just absolutely one with the Lord and the ministry of the age, which is to build up the body of Christ. Okay, so when I first came around, if you would have told me, Robert, let's go to the prophesying meeting. There's going to be prophesying. Hey, and you can prophesy too. I don't know if I would have been really, I don't know. I don't know if I would have gone. And part of the reason, and this is just a little sidebar, many of the words in the Bible and the things of God have been damaged by his enemy. So we have a concept of prophesying that maybe that means I'm going to stand up and I'm going to predict the future. Today, hail! Storms, you know, I don't know what it might be. But you can see from this verse, it's so clear the meaning of prophesying is not really mainly foretelling, although there is that. But mainly what Paul's talking about here, and really what we see mainly in the whole Bible, is it says in verse 3, he who prophesies speaks building up. Is that predicting the future? He speaks building up. He speaks consolation and he speaks encouragement to men, right? This is what builds up the body of Christ. It's not mainly the foretelling. So anyway, if you hadn't heard before, there's been a lot of this going on this week. Haven't you enjoyed the building up? Amen. I feel like every night this week, the prophesying has just been building and building and building. Don't you feel this way? I'm just getting watered and supplied. Praise the Lord. The Lord is raising up prophets in our midst. Okay. It says in your reading, and I'll touch on this more later, but it says that prophesying means speaking for God, speaking forth God, and speaking God into people, right? God in Christ being spoken into people. That's what we're talking about. And what is the goal of this prophesying? Say it again.
Building up.
Right? It's in verse 5, verse 4. He who prophesies builds up the church. So that is the goal. And who can prophesy? Who can prophesy? All can prophesy. Many of you know this already, but I'd just like to read some verses to you about this point. It's verses, you can write this down in that same chapter, 1 Corinthians 14, 24 through 26, I'll read, and then 31, and especially circle that one. Okay, so verse 24. If therefore the whole church comes together in one place and all speak in tongues, and some unlearned in tongues or unbelievers enter, will they not say that you are insane? But if all prophesy, and some unbeliever or unlearned person enters, he is convicted by all and he is examined by all. The secrets of his heart become manifest, and so falling on his face, he will worship God, declaring that indeed God is among you. The Lord needs this. He has to recover this. What then, brothers? Whenever you come together, each one has a psalm, has a teaching, has a revelation, has a tongue, has an interpretation for that tongue. Let all things be done for building up. And then in verse 31, for you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged. And I'd just like to point out here that all can, and even more, that all should prophesy. We have a speaking God, and we are made in His image, and we have a mouth. And the main way that we would serve the Lord in our lifetime is by our speaking. That's the main way we will serve the Lord. We serve the Lord in many ways, but mainly in our speaking. And for this reason, we all need to prophesy. We need to seek to prophesy. We need to practice it. Anyway, I'll get into more. But, you know, can the trees speak? Can the dogs speak? Can the cat speak? Only we can, right? So this is our specific God-ordained function. We need to see how important this is. Okay. I think Patrick will get into some more of some reasons, you know, that we don't prophesy, or, you know, we've already heard a lot this week. But I would just like to point out this matter of our having a mouth and our being able to speak is not a small thing. And I would like to put it together with some verses in Matthew 25. Matthew 25, it talks about talents. Raise your hand if you're familiar with this portion that talks about the talents. Okay, many of us have heard this before, but I'll just say a few things about it. Verse 14 in Matthew 25 says that the kingdom of the heavens is just like a man about to go abroad who called his own slaves and delivered to them his possessions. To one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. I really enjoyed that verse this morning, to his own ability. Raise your hand if you have a little power. We all have a little power, right? And the Lord cares just that we do the best with what we have, right? Anyway, you know this story. Many of you are already familiar, but each one of these, one got 5 talents, one got 2, and one got 1. And the Lord's expectation that when he went away is that these ones would take what he'd given them and they would invest that, they would do business with that, and they would gain a profit for the Lord with that talent. And the footnote here, it points out that these talents represent our spiritual gift that we have to serve the Lord with in our life of service. And I would just like to point here to this matter of prophesying. Every one of us has a mouth, right? God has given us a mouth. He's given us a responsibility. That is a talent, and we have a little power, and we need to do business with that. And so the one who had 5, he went and invested, he did business, and he got 5. And when he met the Lord said, well done, good and faithful, right? Enter into the joy of your master, right? And then the one with 2, he did the same thing. But the one with 1, he said, I know what kind of man you were, and I took my talent, and I went and hid it in the earth. And then meeting the Lord, he said, now, here, you have what is yours. And this is a little bit of a sobering word, but you know what he heard from the Lord when he met the Lord was, that is evil and slothful. You had this one talent, and it was evil and slothful to not use that talent. And so I'm just impressed. I'm speaking to myself. We're in a training. We need to prophesy. We need to invest. We need to seek. Actually, I would point to these verses in chapter 14. Paul in verse 1 says we should desire earnestly the prophesying. You know, and then in verse 12, he was speaking to them. He said, are you zealous? He said, seek that you may excel for the building up. Right? Seek that you may excel for the building up. I desire, in verse 5, that you all prophesy. Verse 39, desire earnestly the prophesying. And so, Lord Jesus, have mercy on us. We want to go on from where we are and develop this gift. And I feel like many of us have had a good beginning this week. We're all at different places in our prophesying. Many of us, we just need to develop a habit of speaking for the Lord. You know, right now what we have is a habit of not speaking for the Lord. And we need to overthrow that habit. And I just appreciated Brother Tom and his sharing with us this week. I can still hear the word exercise. We need to exercise, right? We need to practice these things. So I would just like to encourage all of us, as we continue on, we would endeavor to develop a habit of prophesying and overthrow a habit of not prophesying. There's reasons that we don't. One of them that I feel a lot, you may feel this way, is I haven't been getting into the Word in the ministry. So what could I prophesy? I don't have anything to share. Maybe you feel like I'm not good at prophesying, so I shouldn't prophesy. We should let the people that are good at prophesying prophesy. And, you know, where's Caleb Swift? I've been listening to him play the piano. How did you learn how to play the piano? He practiced. And then I saw the brothers playing soccer the other day. Carlos, how did you learn to play soccer? You just practice, right? How did you learn to ride a bike? How do you learn to pray? How do you learn to prophesy? You just have to practice, right? That's how we get good at it. And so, anyway, practice means just building up a habit. And if you haven't been getting into something, then I hope in our twos and threes times we're seeing the value of having a companion. We can ask our companion to help us. Help me get into the Word. Let's have an appointment once a week. Let's read the ministry. Let's pray over some verses. Let's read the Bible together. If you do this, you'll have something to speak. Something else that helped me a lot was making a pact with a companion. Have any of you ever done this? Okay, let's make a pact. We're going to prophesy this month at least once in the prophesying meeting of the church. Has anybody ever done that? Okay, raise your hand if you have. Okay, I got so much help from this. When I was in the training, we had this one big class. There was more than 300 people in this class. And it was hard to speak to 300 people. And I was never very good at it. I was always afraid, or I didn't think, you know, I didn't grow up in the church life. They're so good at saying these things, I can't speak. But I got so much help from making a pact. All those who were on my team, we just said, hey, this week, every one of us is going to prophesy in the big class with all the 300 people. And we did it. And I just got so much help. I got help to, I would not have been able to stand here and do this if it weren't for that kind of help. So I would encourage you all, one thing that you can do is you can make a pact with your companion. And you can help each other prepare. You can help each other get into it. Another thing that you can do is you can build up a habit, a practice outside of the meetings. You know, if you don't ever speak, then when it comes time for the meeting, it's hard to speak. So I would encourage you to go to your home meetings, your small group meetings, and in those meetings, share something. Saints, this week I enjoyed this. I was so impressed. God is love. And you can say something. That is not prophesying, but you can practice speaking. So that when we have the prophesying meeting, you're already practicing. Anyway, don't wait until you think you're ready. Just start prophesying. I think some of us, you know, we're in our seat and the Lord is saying, now, let's go, prophesy, tonight, prophesy. And our habit is no, for this reason, for that reason. But I would just like to encourage you all, don't do that. Go along with that. When the Lord is doing something within you, and he's saying, go, speak, stand up, just go along with that. I think it ties in with all the fellowship we've heard this week. This is to follow the anointing. This is to follow the Spirit. This is to let the Lord perfect you in your prophesying. Anyway, there's some other points. I would save plenty of time for Patrick. But that at least is speaking for the Lord, you know. Then there's a whole other matter of speaking forth the Lord. And what does that mean? What's the difference between speaking for the Lord and speaking forth the Lord? And I don't know the answer, but maybe... Stephen, come up here. I'm going to have Stephen speak for me. Stephen, tell them this. Good.
I love you. Very much.
So he said, I love you very much. I tried to pick this because we brothers, we can't say that always very well. But there's a difference. There's a difference in speaking for me. I thought he would do this. Okay, thank you. I thought he would be like, I love you. Robert said, I love you. You know? He's speaking for me, you know, when he says that. But if he would speak me forth, he might say something like this. Saints, I love you. I love you. You're wonderful, right? There's something more there, right? You know, I could say to you all, you know, God loves you. You know, he loves you, and he's the Holy One, and he'll sanctify you. And I can say that, and I'm speaking for the Lord, and that is absolutely true. And we should say these things. But what would happen if I would have a personal time with the Lord, and I would open to the Lord, and as the Holy One, he would visit me, and he would touch me, and he would sanctify me, and he would rescue me from something that's in my being. Phil shared so many things earlier. And you could just say, Lord, I repent, forgive me. And the Lord would forgive you, and he would cleanse you, he would wash you with his blood, and he would come make his home in that part of your heart. Then you would come to the prophesying meeting, and you would say, Saints, God loves you. He loves you. He doesn't want to leave you like that. He wants to save you. This is our God. If you would spend time with him, and you would open to him, he would make his home in your heart. Can you see a difference? Anyway, I don't know if that's the answer or not, but I just know there's something here. We all just have to start with the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. We need to read the Word and see what God says. But then we need to endeavor to go on, right? To not just speak for the Lord, but speak forth the Lord. And for this, I would just give you a prayer. You could pray something like this, Lord, bring me into the experience of yourself. Cause me to experience you for the body. You could pray, Lord, burden me for your body. And I believe these kind of prayers would give the Lord the way as the Spirit of reality to take us from just being on the surface to something deeper, you know? And then our prophesying could advance to another level. Anyway, maybe that's a poor illustration, but I just hope you all could see that I'm speaking first to myself. I have not arrived. There is more here. I want to minister Christ. And even I don't want to just speak Christ forth. Eventually, I need to know it's getting in, right? The saints that I'm with are growing in life. They're loving the Lord. They're being... Do you see what I'm saying? Lord, make us prophets. Amen. We want to build up the body of Christ. Amen. Okay, I'll stop here and I'll let Patrick share a few more things. How about... Amen. How about we all just say, Lord Jesus, make me a prophet.
Praise the Lord. A little nervous. My first college training. And the brothers want me to speak. I'm not sure why. Let me put a disclaimer. I am not a professional speaker. I'm not a professional prophesier. But I am a part of this all. Who can prophesy? 1 Corinthians 14:31. For you can all prophesy one by one. Amen. Can I have those who raise their hand, been in the recovery within the, you know, this past 2 years? Why don't you stand up? You can prophesy.
Amen.
Can they prophesy?
Amen.
Amen. Okay, you can sit down. How about those going into college? You haven't had one semester of college yet? There's some here. You can prophesy.
Amen.
And especially you who are going to a new locality. I said, no one knows me here. Anyway, you can sit down. We can all prophesy. Actually, you know who else comes to prophesy? Serving ones can prophesy too.
Amen.
And this is a little side note. Do you pray for your serving ones? I hope you do. They're on the campus laboring, and you know, they get tired, you know. They have the same feeling. They come, Lord's Day, you know, I've been with these kids all week, you know. I've had saints in my house. There was one time, my wife and I, it was a Tuesday, I think, and we said, wow, this is the first time. No one's coming to our house today. And I think we just slept. I don't know what happened. So, but you can all prophesy. But there's some excuses why we don't prophesy. I don't have anything to share. And if I'm going to repeat, Robert, I'm just going to keep on hammering the point. But we have the one who has the keys of David. Amen. Did you get that all right last night? Amen. We have the one who has the keys of David. Amen. So we have much to prophesy. That's not an excuse, right? Okay, this is a big one. He took my point. You know, when you're in the line, it's easy to not sit down because, you know, you already stood up and then three people. But when you're in the prophesying meeting, you're about to stand up, you said, I'm about to go. And then one of the full-timers who's been in the church life for 20 years. He was there in that meeting that you're reading about that Brother Lee spoke, right? Right? But I hope in this building there's not only one nail on that wall, right? We just hammer. And actually, you know, you're the best one to be on the campus because you're the best ones to reach the students. But actually, you're the best ones to reach your peers in the meetings as well. Sometimes, are you ever in a meeting and someone repeats the point, I enjoy the same thing. And then after the fourth time, you said, I got it. They said the exact same thing, right? But after the fourth time, you got it, right? All right. There's something within us, especially amongst our peers, that, you know, oh, I enjoy Robert sharing, you know. But, you know, he's expected to do that, right? Anyway, I can't speak as well as Robert, you know, but he's expected to do that. So, you know, I'm just going to enjoy the speaking. And then someone else stands up, and you said, wow. I got that, right? I got that. Don't stunt the growth of your fellow believers. Because you don't know. It doesn't matter how many amens you get. You don't know how that touches that one brother or that one sister. I call it the amenometer. You know? Amen. Hallelujah! You know, it's in the red zone, right? But sometimes, you know, last time I shared, amen, right? And so, but actually, we'll touch that point later concerning who we're dispensing, okay? Let's see. We had so many, we wrote down so many excuses. There's just too many, I can't. I'm not going to even open it up because everyone will have an excuse. I'm too tired. The only thing I'll say is go to bed early. This is very practical because we're so concerned. I need to wake up for class. We're going to the Lord's table meeting. The Lord's inviting you to a feast. Actually, you're building up the church. Actually, Christ is building up the church, right? But he's using you. Isn't this an honorable thing? Go to bed early, right? I'm speaking to myself, for sure. Okay, so then, who are we dispensing? And I hope after I go through this point, we're not in our mind. We'll be covered. The Lord cover my speaking in this matter. But, okay, let me read this. This is from The Practice of Prophesying, chapter 3. To prophesy in principle is not to speak for oneself, not to speak forth oneself, even the more not to dispense oneself into people. Often we may dispense ourselves to people in our speaking in order to impress them with our experiences and affections. This kind of speaking is not to speak the Lord, but to speak ourselves. It is not related to Christ, but to ourselves. This is not to prophesy, but to promote ourselves. Honestly, I think this affects the brothers more. We're so, you know, it's part of this, you know, amen-o-meter thing. How are they going to look at me? Am I going to be impressed? We're very proud. I feel the same way. You know, like, I was so desperate for the sharing. Because at first, I'm so nervous, you know. Am I going to make a fool of myself? My mouth was dry even sitting there, you know, just preparing to go. But we need to realize we are dispensing Christ. Amen. Who builds up the church? Christ. Who builds up the church?
Christ.
So you need to build with Christ. Yeah. But Christ uses you to build up the church, right? So we need to speak Christ. Can we do that?
Amen.
Well, next time you share, maybe even after this meeting, you may say, well, was that me? You know, oh, am I going to perform here? Oh, you know, what am I going to do? Well, I would say we need a practice. And sometimes you don't know you're in yourself until after you sit down, right? You know, we really need to go to the Lord before we stand up and say, you know, Lord, I want to speak you.
Amen.
If you don't know what that means, practice first. And how do you practice? Go up to the mic and practice. You know the best way to learn guitar? And how I learned guitar? Practice, for sure. But it was in a meeting. I first learned in children's meeting when I was in junior high. I was like teaching my brothers. And then I really learned in the young people's meeting when I was a young person, because I messed up so much, right? But the more I played, it's not just at home, but there's really nothing like real game time action, right? You really learn how to play a certain sport, how to endeavor in a certain thing when you're doing it. And I'm learning right now how to speak in front of 200 people, right? We're all endeavoring. And so we need to have a spirit of learning. Don't let the enemy say, you can't speak. I can't speak, but there is some riches in us that need to be dispensed. And actually, you're dispensing, you're speaking. Do you believe that builds up the church?
Amen.
That's such an honorable thing, right? You know, there's a sister. Okay, I'm from Philadelphia. Hallelujah. I'm also in the Pillars group for some. We practice 3 minutes, up to 3 minutes in prophesying. There is a sister who has a kind of a speech impediment. She takes 3 minutes. Do you know why? Because she needs it. Her speaking is about 45 seconds worth. But when she speaks, you know, like what our brother was sharing about a sister, Brother Lee commenting about a sister, I had the same feeling. I go, what she spoke, she hit every point, every crystal that she needed to. It was just one point of the outline. But she hit everything. And I don't know if anyone was like impressed or not, but I was like, Lord, I want to speak like that sister. That, you know, we tell stories, and I say a lot. You know, we're nervous, and that's okay. I say a lot too. But the more we practice, the ums may not go away. It's like that. It's like this. It's like that. We need to endeavor in this matter. The reason why sometimes we're not confident is because we don't have the word. We're not getting into the word. I can talk about cameras and taking pictures all day because I'm in it. I'm into it. My job is about technology. I can talk about technology with confidence, you know. But if you talk about, physics, yeah, I tune out, right? And I can't even pretend to talk about physics, right? And so I just stumble through. But we need to endeavor to get into the Word.
Amen.
So how do we speak? And how do we get into these? So these are, I'm just going to give you some practical points. And this is not just the only way. And but we need to learn to prophesy. But the main thing, first thing is this. We need to enjoy the Lord every morning.
Amen.
Actually, everything we've been hearing is related to prophesying. All your morning revival times is related to prophesying. We first need to enjoy the Lord. And I was very helped this morning. Wow. You know, every morning. I just want to, you know, the first day, we want to muse on the Lord. But when we come, and I hope we don't come to the morning times for the purpose of prophesying, actually. We need to come with the purpose of touching the Lord. And actually it says, take a few verses. And do you ever go through the morning revival? Some of you are in it, and you go, I don't understand it. And then you want to get through the reading really quick because you want to know what it says. You know, I would say, if time allows, go through the reading. But if time doesn't allow, just do the verses and pray the verses. Lord, I enjoy you. I want to muse upon you. Right. That's the first thing. But then we need to practice. I hope we can endeavor to spend some time. To endeavor in prophesying. So that means we need to set aside some time. Either we need to wake up earlier in the morning, or sometimes it's good to come back to it at night because it's been stirring up in you. You've been enjoying these verses. I really want to endeavor and learn what these verses say. So then go through the morning revival. And what's really good is, you know, in the morning revival, they only give you two or three lines of inspiration. It's good to jot down what you enjoyed.
Amen.
You know, if you do this for 6 days, wow, you have 6 different nuggets. Don't think you don't have anything to share, right? Okay, no, but do you want to endeavor?
Amen.
Do you want to endeavor more, right?
Amen.
Well, Brother Lee uses the example of, you know, you should get 8 to 10 brothers or sisters together. Spend 2 hours. He says 2 hours and practice to prophesy with one another. You spend 2 hours for a 2 to 3 minute prophecy. This is Brother Lee's feeling, though. His spirit of learning to endeavor. And I hope we would all endeavor. But we need to, let's practice this. How about if you have roommates or if you have companions, especially if you live near each other, or you know via the internet, or if you have a companion, you know, who's in another city, why don't you endeavor to practice on each other? You say, brother, you know, Robert, time me, you know, and you just start, just go and go, and then just say, what do you think, you know? It's not bad to say, what do you think, you know? We need to use our mind, right? We need to just endeavor. You know, did I say it accurately? You know, part of it is we just need to practice. I can't emphasize this point enough. The more you speak, the more we practice, the more skilled you will be at this. And actually, when I was a young person, I still am young. But when I was in the young people's meeting, I grew up in Southern California. And the English-speaking meeting was the young people's meeting because it was mainly a Chinese-speaking locality. So if we didn't prophesy, there would be a lot of silence, right? So I got into this habit. I need to prophesy. But even after all those years, even after going through 2 years of the training, I still am a failure in prophesying, right? Because I still have all these excuses, you know. The students were over. I blame it on somebody else, right? But I need to endeavor to prophesy, right?
Amen.
So what I've been trying to practice was, on Saturday night, how many different nuggets I have written out, I try Saturday night to write out a prophecy. And sometimes it takes me an hour. Sometimes that's because of distraction, sure, but we need to set aside this time. You know, we're not here to be religious, but, you know, we should be religious in certain things. We should be religious to have a time of prayer with one another, with your companions. I think we shouldn't be, we need to set aside some time. That's what I mean by religious. So I went to Israel a couple years ago to visit some saints. And so my wife had gone with another sister first, and I went a few days later. And so I was in California at the time, but I flew into Philadelphia first and then flew to Israel. And at that time, I think I was one of 10 non-Jews on the plane. And the rest were mostly Orthodox Jews. And so you know what Orthodox Jews do? They have a certain time of prayer, right? And at a certain time, we were in the Philadelphia, you know, the terminal there, the gate, and they all got up. All the men got up and started praying. Their way of praying, right? Then we were on the plane at a certain time, and this was a shock to me. People getting up on a plane all at the same time. Yeah. And they all got up. They had different rituals. They bind their arms. They do different things. They started to pray. This impressed me a lot, actually. The Lord was speaking to me through these Orthodox Jews. Do you have a set time to pray? Do you have a set time to prepare to prophesy? I was just so impressed. Does anyone know what 1 Thessalonians 5:20 says? It has something to do with this message. Huh? Do not despise prophecy. Jonathan, you should have got that. Do not despise prophecy.
Amen.
Whose prophecy? First, do not despise your own prophecy. You know, when you sit down, do you feel... You just feel... You can't say anything, actually. People are prophesying, you can't say amen. Not because you don't appreciate their portion, but you're just thinking about your own. And your hands are shaking still. You know, and you're like... We're still learning here, right? And do not despise your own prophecy. So, you know, sometimes I go, oh, I just didn't speak that well. And then so many times a saint would come up to me and say, wow, I really enjoyed your sharing. And you said, you did? Like, don't despise the treasure that's in you. But if the Lord shines on you, you shouldn't have said that. Don't be condemned, right? You know what you do? You go to the Lord, say, Lord, I repent. And then do you know what you do? You prophesy again.
Amen.
Don't despise other people's prophecy. This is a big one. First, don't have offense with brothers or sisters. Don't have anything that would cut you off from the fellowship with one another. Why? Because you can't receive the Christ that he's sharing. Oh, he made me mad the previous night, you know. I can't receive what he's sharing to me. And then if you have that offense, I'm not gonna apologize. And you share the next morning, you know, you share on the Lord's Day, you know what happens? Water comes out with sulfur, you know. There is something there that's not right. So we need to be right with one another. Well, these are just some practical points, but the last thing is, at, you know, the very least, we need to exercise our spirit, right?
Amen.
What does this mean? Does this mean to speak loud? Not necessarily, right? But practically, sisters, we need to speak louder. Take care of the meeting. Make sure the brother over there can hear you, right? Brothers, speak louder, right? Some of you, anyway, I'm not sure. Why not? I mean, some of us are dispositionally, that's a hard word to say, shy, right? But at the same time, some of, take care of the environment. So some of you very burning brothers, take care of the meeting as well. I'm not going to say how, but you know, just be, we need to be aware of where we're at, right? Some localities have a table meeting of 20. And in Philadelphia, we have about 120, you know. And so if I prophesy the same way in that in both meetings, I'm not taking care of the saints. Actually, the saints want to hear the Christ in you, right? And so this is just one practical point. And we want to give you more time to share and practice these things. I had one more point. I'm trying to find it in my notes here. Amen. Well, let me give you an example of a sister in the Bible who prophesied, Elizabeth. Elizabeth was the mother of John. I think cousin of Mary. I think so. And Mary, Elizabeth was of old age, and the angel came to her and said, "You will be with child." Okay, so fast forward. Mary, the angel appeared to Mary as well. And so the Mary was carrying the Lord Jesus, right? And then Mary walks in. And you know what happened? Elizabeth, the baby jumped, leaped. The Bible says leaped. But then, I'm going to turn to those verses really quick. It's Luke 1. Sorry, I'm taking so much time here. Luke 1:39-45. And Mary rose up those days and went to the hill countryside with haste to the city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she lifted up her voice with a loud cry and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how is this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby leaped with exultation in my womb. And blessed is she who has believed, because there will be a completion of these things spoken to her from the Lord." You know, Brotherly points out that she was not concerned with her spirit, her physical condition. The baby leaped. And actually, she was of old age of when she had John, right? But she had some knowledge of the Bible, knowledge of the Word, and she was able to recognize what was in Mary was her Savior,
Amen.
Was her coming Savior, right? Amen. We need to have some knowledge of the Word, right? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I believe that a lot of you will practice these things. And how enriching the churches will be, your locality will be. No one can speak the Lord the way you can speak the Lord. The saints need your portion, right? And don't despise what you have. Okay, I remember the point. Last. The talent. One was given one talent. Do you know how much one talent is? 6,000 denarii. Do you know what one denarii is? One day's wages. Day's worth of wages. Do you know what that comes out to be? Math majors? 15, 16 years. That includes weekends, right? Don't think you don't have anything. I only have one talent. And what if you invest that talent, even just for interest? What a glory. What a treasure you have, right? Don't despise the treasure in you. Don't despise prophecy. Amen.